Well, we're moving into the 17th chapter of Luke today, and we're going to deal at least for this morning. We're going to be dealing with two particular subjects that, again, for some odd reason, the church seems to like to ignore, many like to ignore, and that's the subject of those who are stumbling blocks to those who would come to the straight gate and the narrow way, and the judgment that is to come upon them. The Lord is rather clear on that. And then we're going to talk about what happens to those who trespass or who commit sin against someone, and the issue of forgiveness. So we're not going to do an exhaustive study on forgiveness. It's not necessary. We will talk about it. This particular chapter in Luke 17, and a most important issue of forgiveness that, again, is ignored, and that's the issue of, well, when a person repents, then there's restoration. Forgiveness is conditional, in spite of the fact that people continue to believe and continue to teach that forgiveness is unconditional. The Bible knows nothing about that. It is conditional. And people say, well, salvation is a gift from God. It's the forgiveness of salvation is unconditional. If you don't believe, you don't experience it. That sounds conditional to me. There is an element of condition to forgiveness. So we're going to be looking specifically at the teachings of Luke here. Then, verse 1, which of course connects to the previous chapter, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It's interesting, he starts off this verse by saying that it is impossible but that offenses will come. I've been saying this forever. People almost act as if there are no people in the world, there are no people in our families, in our lives, in our sphere of influence who are the hindrances to the spiritual. And that's an absurdity, to act as if there are no people who are purposely in opposition against us and our spiritual walk is ridiculous. The Lord right here says it is impossible but that offenses will come. In other words, it's coming. You can no more escape that than you can escape breathing. It's impossible but that offenses will come. There are going to be people everywhere. See, that's why I'm going to keep saying this, because one day someone is going to find, it's going to click in someone's little noodle what I've been saying forever. This is why you are compelled to get into a Bible teaching church. You are compelled to find a pastor who's going to teach you verse by verse through the Bible. You are compelled to study the Bible in that fashion yourself, because it all connects together. It all connects together. It is impossible but that offenses will come. They're going to come. They were always here, and they will be here, and if there's a tomorrow, they're going to come again. People are going to try to oppose you. People are going to stop. They're going to hinder you. Everything they can to thwart you getting either into that straight gate, or once you get in, to distract you from all the spiritual blessings that are within that gate. It's going to happen. But the element that people definitely don't want to talk about is the woe that is to come upon those who are involved in the offense, the ones who are involved in being a stumbling block, a hindrance, what have you. There is a great, great judgment. Woe is judgment. Woe is a word of warning, of impending judgment. Whenever you see the word woe, there is a judgment attached to it, and the greatness of the attachment to it is seen in the word woe. That's a powerful word. Woe unto him through whom they come. Woe to the world, woe to individuals because of the stumbling blocks. For it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to that man or woman through whom the stumbling block comes. Woe to that person. Woe. we're not talking about stop, like, whoa, not like hold it, but judgment is coming. Obviously, this has a direct reference to the Pharisees and scribes who were the stumbling blocks to those who wanted to enter into the kingdom of God. Again, everything connects together. We have to approach the Bible that everything connects together. There is a reason for chapter 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, all the way through 17 and beyond. There is a reason why they all connect together, and they all do. We have seen this truth in previous chapters, and we'll continue to see it. Remember, all that the Lord said about these men, referring to the Pharisees and the scribes, from the moment they refused to submit to the will of God at John's baptism, to the culmination of his preaching to follow Christ, these men continued to get more hateful, more evil, more jealous, more spiteful, and ironically, more religious. You would think that their religion would be affected by how they were treating the Lord, how they treated John Baptist, how they treated Jesus' disciples. Yeah, they got more religious, not less. Again, the big, the gaudy, the huge, to try to show people that they're better and bigger, and that's coming up here too. Just remember that. It's all connected together. They refuse to submit to the will of God. And everything the Lord said about them came to pass. There are plenty of stumbling blocks that are in the world, and many people who either are the stumbling blocks or who provide the means by which one stumbles away from simple childlike faith. I mean, there are people right at the gate. Some people are there. And there's plenty of people in opposition to block their way to get in. And they fall away. Just like the parable of the soils. Everything is provided, but there are things that are there which cause people not to allow the word to take root. They're responsible. Don't get me wrong. Woe is unto those who cause a stumbling, but there's a woe to those who don't follow the Lord either. So there's no escaping the judgment, either those who cause a stumbling or those who stumble away. We have to be very mindful of that. But I wouldn't want to be attached to the woe to those who do these things. There's coming a grief of judgment upon those who are the cause of stumbling in the lives of those who attempt to enter into that gate. No matter what stumbling blocks may do in this life, they will answer to God for all of it. They're going to answer to the Lord for all of it. There is a certain arrogance and rudeness in those who try to hinder you from entering in the straight gate. And most of it's from religious people. Most of it's from religious people. I've said it before. You'd be surprised how Uncle Charlie suddenly got religion when the closer you get to that gate, suddenly this drunken fool wants to start quoting Bible to you. You might get impressed. I don't get impressed someone quoting the Bible. What is that supposed to mean? You know, the closer you get to that straight gate, all of a sudden here comes everybody suddenly want to be theologians. They want to be Bible scholars with their scotch in their hand or that joint in their fingers. Or they're cracked. They want to suddenly become Bible exegetes. And all they're showing you is that they're going to be damned for what they already know and have rejected. That's what you should think of them and keep going to that gate. And then get there and go through it. Get in it. Yeah, it's coming a day of woe on all these people. Period. They're going to answer to God. Now go back to Matthew 23. They're going to answer to God for all of this. The scribes, the Pharisees, and everybody else through all of redemptive history are going to answer to God for putting stumbling blocks or being the stumbling block. You can either put something in the way to cause people to stumble, or you can be the means of it. Either way, there's a woe coming. I didn't do anything. Yeah, you provided the means for the person not getting into the straight gate. There's a woe to you too. Verse 13 of Matthew 23. And remember, we're talking the 23rd chapter of Matthew. So we're talking a long time in chronology past what we see here in Luke 17. And look at what he said. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. They were blocking it. through their religion. For ye neither go in yourselves, stop. They weren't going in. This is willful. They did not go in. They could never say they didn't know. They did not want to go in, and they didn't. Neither suffer or allow ye them that are entering to go in. So they wouldn't go in, and anyone who attempted to go in, they refused them. They blocked them. They blocked them. That's incredible. My goodness. You shut up. You barricade. You put a door in front of the gate. You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. No wonder there's a woe attached to all this. You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. That is an incredible statement. They blocked it. Told you the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. You have to strive to enter in. The Lord says, strive ye to enter into the straight gate. You got to fight. You got to exert every ounce of your strength and power to get in that gate, because there's going to be a lot of folk trying to keep you from getting in there. I was watching the guy yesterday on one of the televisions. He's trying to get to that goal line. And he's running, and then he stopped, and two of the defenders came right at him from both sides, and they were heading right for him. And so he ducked, and they hit each other in the head and fell down, and he got back up. He started running again. That was funny. I mean, here they're like two bulls running to this guy, and he sees it, and he ducks at the right time. Blammo! They take each other out, and he's striving. He got that touchdown. Another guy hit him. He just shook him off and kept going. Kept going. You got to strive. It's coming. It's already here. And who's the greatest hindrance to you entering into the gate? Yourselves. Yourselves. That's right. You know all your weaknesses. Everybody here knows all their weaknesses. Everybody knows all their hindrances. You and I possess within our own nature the greatest stumbling to our own lives. If we were out on an island all ourselves, we would still stumble, because we know how to stumble. We provide a means to take our own selves out. These men were hypocrites. And they were hypocrites that were full of pride, because in their deception, they believed that they were righteous. And worse than that, they believed that they were capable of being as righteous as, or even more righteous than, those who truly were righteous. So they thought that they were the super righteous. I mean, they blocked. When you look at Romans 2, you see Romans chapters 2 and chapter 3, you see all of what the Jews believed of themselves. They were given all the privileges. And they took it upon themselves to believe that they and they alone were the instructors and the teachers and what have you. And if you wanted to know God, you had to come through them. And Paul said, well, wouldn't that be true of you? If you were all these things to others, would you not be that to yourself? And he begins to use the privilege against them to show that they were hypocrites. And here we go. Religious hypocrisy is so heinous because in the lives of those men and women, they think that they were capable of being not only as righteous or even more righteous than those who are truly righteous, but more righteous even than the Lord of glory. You'd have to think that if you're blocking access to him, you'd have to believe that you are more righteous than the Lord. How can you not? He's the door of the sheepfold. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's access to the Father. He's everything. And here are these scribes and Pharisees literally blocking the way, blocking people from getting in to Christ and to heaven and to the kingdom of God and of heaven. Why? Because they thought they were more righteous than the Son of God, or else they would be going, there's the way. They would do what John Baptist did. There's one who cometh after me who is mightier than I. The shoe latches, I'm not even worthy to unloose. He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost with fire. He's the one you need to follow. That's what everyone would have done. True Christian leaders would say, follow Christ. They wouldn't say, follow me. Why would someone want to follow you and me? For what reason? We need to be pointing people to the Lord. This isn't about some stupid earthly pastor, some favorite Bible teacher. It's about following the Lord. We've made this whole thing about following personality cults and people. We made cult figures out of Christian teachers. It's ridiculous. And where's the outcry? Nowhere. Used to be somebody would get mad and then and try to pop up, and it'd be whack-a-mole, you know, by the big shot preacher they were coming against, so to speak. And all their minions would come with their big old mallets, and as soon as you said whack, they'd be whacking, you couldn't say a word. It's amazing. Many people do not see their own hypocrisy as serious as this because they are so selfish, they do not think in those terms, but that is exactly what the reality is. If you are a religious hypocrite, as these men were, your alleged righteousness is only that which is outward or simply a matter of living out a slew of religious traditions, oral traditions in particular, because none of it has anything to do with the Bible, then you do not see yourself as in need of any genuine righteousness, and therefore you think that your way to God is better or more righteous than the Lord's way, and that you yourself are more righteous than he. If you're not entering into the straight gate, the narrow way, that's simply because you think that your alleged righteousness is either equal at least, or greater than the Lord's. And you become just like the scribes and Pharisees, a hindrance to those who are trying to enter in. Woe unto you. This is just how wicked and horrible hypocrisy in the religious sense truly is. But many people are so blinded by their pride and their arrogance that their minds are blinded and blunted to the truth of it. If a person will not respond to the Lord properly and immediately, and that is by repentance and salvation, because that's the only model we see in Scripture, then the only thing left is a woe. Jesus says, listen, Jesus says, either you are for me or you are against me. He didn't say either you are for me or neutral. Did you hear what I just said? He never said you are either for me or thinking about it. You are either for me or that's it. Everything else is fine. You know, you are either for me or you're against me. You're going to stand against me if you're not with me. So it's one or the other. We've got to connect the dots here. The Bible is clear. So what was the act of hypocrisy that Jesus declared his woe about? Well, it had to do with salvation. That's where it must begin. He declared judgment upon these men because they stood in the way and obstructed the entrance into the kingdom of heaven before men or in the front of men. They just stood there. The access into the kingdom of heaven was obvious, because the access into it was Jesus himself, and is Jesus, and will always be him. And they stood in the way and prevented others who may have desired to come to Christ from coming to him and thereby being saved. They stood in the way. They just obstructed. This is real. We play with theories like we play Monopoly. You know, we can play Monopoly and buy Park Place and the boardwalk and all that, and you know, leave the table. You're just as broke as you were before you started, because it's a game. But in Christianity, this is no game. People are literally trying to prevent you. Threats are made against people, literally threats against their lives, their families, their livelihood. I'm going to cut you out of my will. I'm going to cut your throat. This is serious business, and people are playing with theories as if they're real. They're playing games. They're playing games with Christianity like they would play Monopoly. This is real. This is not a game that you just walk away from and everything is going back to normal. This is real. lives have been literally divided over Christianity, because Christianity is real. And what else is real is the stupidity that people act as if Christianity isn't real. And they don't take it seriously enough to think, you know what? This isn't about just believing in a religion. There are plenty of those to believe in, plenty of them. And some of them may get persecuted, you know, like Scientology and others, of course. They may be persecuted. The Mormons have been persecuted. A lot of people have been persecuted. But none like Christianity. I mean, we're witnessing that now in this country like never before. And I've already said it was coming. I mean, been saying it forever, but I still don't think but five people believe I have to say in the whole world anyway. But, you know, I try to tell them, you don't have to believe me. Just look at the Bible. Do you believe the Bible? I'm just telling you, it's coming. It's already here. It's in full swing. Behind a lot of so-called bills and things, I've already explained these things. I'm not going to do it again. Behind a lot of these bills and what have you in our Congress and administration is the destruction of Christianity, family unit, everything. It's all there. It's all there. It's all these things have, it's staring us in the face. They're all obstacles to keep people from Christ. Organized religion without Jesus is a big, giant obstacle. Family members are obstacles. And if you don't, listen, we've seen it. Do you understand? Do you remember anything in your mind? We've seen it, that people are opposing others and they oppose themselves from coming to Christ. They get to the gate and then they either take themselves out or they let others do it. They feel the pressure. If you go to this church, I'm going to do this. Okay, well, do it. You know, but they just walk away. This is real. And we've been treating this like a game. This is not a game. This isn't something you walk away from. This is that which has eternal ramifications. You do not enter into the straight gate. There's only a woe left. Because you will not only not be saved, but you will become antagonistic against salvation. You'll become the very thing that has been trying to keep you from entering, and you will side with error, and then eventually you become against it yourself. You know, it's the lie that I used to be a Christian. You never enter into the straight gate. What do you mean you used to be a Christian? There's no such thing as used to be a Christian. I was a Christian. You have never been a Christian if you think you was a Christian. That's ridiculous. There's no was in Christianity. If you think you used to be a Christian, you never was a Christian. And you are not one now if you think you either was or used to be a Christian, because there is no such thing in the Bible. You just got to the gate, but you didn't walk in. And because you turn your back on the gate for whatever reason, internal pressure or external pressure, you became another means of stumbling. Woe unto you. Not only did they stand in the way of others entering into the kingdom of heaven, but also they themselves refused to enter in and would not allow those who were entering in to come. And this is real. They wouldn't get in. They kept others from entering in and they didn't want to get in. The pressure. Oh, we got to see these things from the biblical perspective. The price you have to pay to believe. I'm telling you, we don't think in these terms. It's pressure, family, friends, jobs. It's all pressure. All these are obstacles that keep you from getting in. And we don't understand that, as Paul said. The loss of all things. I've suffered the loss of all things for Christ. We have examples of those who've done it. They got to the gate and ran right in there. And they lost everything that they may win Christ, because winning Christ was more important than winning this life. Paul had a stellar career as a Pharisee. He said all that was nothing, was a dung heap, a pile of poop, that I may win Christ. Well, we don't see life in that fashion. We're not willing to lose anything. There's got to be a compromise somewhere, big black preacher. Got to be a compromise where I could live in this world and live for the glories. No. Wait a minute, Negro. There's got to be a compromise where I can live in this world and everybody would like me in the world and still, you know, enter into the straight gate. No. No, it doesn't work that way. Not according to the Bible. Well, my pastor says, yeah, I'm sure whatever your pastor says, you believe him over God anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Woe unto you. One of the greatest evils against those who follow false teachings, they themselves will not enter into God's kingdom, and they stand in the way of others who may truly desire to want to know the way into the kingdom of God and of heaven. I believe and have taught this, that there are some people, I have reasons that I don't want to really get into right now as to the why, but I believe there are some people, the numbers are very few in the sum factor, who desire to get into the kingdom, but unfortunately they're mixed up with the wrong crowd. Some are in, you know, basically traditional religions, and that to me is the biggest hindrance of all traditional religion, whatever the race or shape or form of the so-called church or denomination, whatever, because there's a lot of hindrances in all of this nonsense, whether it's Catholic or Protestant. There's a lot of stumbling blocks in all this nonsense. Because if you want to really follow Christ, there's going to be people in all this stuff that are just going to put up all the barricades, because you're going to expose their hypocrisy that they are comfortable with. So it's always going to be there. It's always going to be there. But you have to strive to get in that gate, regardless. You're going to have to pay that price. It's going to always be that in religion. You're never going to escape that. You're going to run into people that are going to try to block you from getting in through religion, through the church, so-called. They're just going to keep blocking. And the more you get close to that gate, the more you're going to see these people for who they really are, according to the Bible. So wait a minute. You guys are more like these scribes and Pharisees than the Lord. All these religions keeping people from entering into the gate. Woe unto you. I believe there are some people who really want to get there. And I believe also that those people that are there, the Spirit of God is speaking directly to them to get out. I don't think he's telling them to stay there. I think he's telling them to get out of there. Because you have walked into a pit of stumbling. Everyone from the top down is nothing but a means of stumbling to keep you from getting into the straight gate. You need to get out of there. Need to run. And they're not running. They're kind of staying there. They kind of get settled in, and that's when everyone comes with the stumbling blocks, the trays of, and I can imagine what's on the tray. The tray really is anything you want. You know, food, drink, whatever it is, a husband, a wife, a friend, a pet, whatever. You know, there are all kinds of stumblings. All the stumblings are not exactly always, how can I put this? Not always adversarial in a sense. It may become that, but it's not initially always adversarial. Some of the stumblings are, well, they're quite pleasant. There's some pleasant people in a lot of churches. They're quite pleasant people. And you get taken in by the pleasantries. Because like I said, you know, people deal with life all the time and they want to find someone or someone's they could go to and enjoy the company, whatever, because I think normal people like to have good company. They don't want to be around, you know, snobbish people all the time or idiots or whatever. They deal with that most of their supposed life, so they want to find a place where, you know, where there's camaraderie. Some to the tailgate party, some to the nightclub, some to the sports bar, some to the beach, some to the camping, whatever the case may be. But people want to be around, and a lot of it's in religion. A lot of it's there. And so initially you go into one of these, and you're striving to enter into the straight gate. You've dealt with the obstacles of family, what have you, and you're almost there. You see the finish line, you see the entrance, and you're almost there, and then you make the mistakes. I think I need to go to church, which is a good thing, but the issue is where you go, and you don't know because, well, you're not listening to the Spirit, and you run into this church, and I was there, I understand. And you run in there and everything is, because it's new to you, you don't know. It's new, you don't know. You think this is it because you're there and you feel like this is where you need to be. and it's new and it's wonderful. It's old to them. It's old religion. They've been doing it forever. They're not excited about it. But you're there. You're new. And that's why they like these new people to come into the so-called church, because it infuses, you know, into the work, because it's all dead anyway. And so they get excited when someone new shows up, because, woohoo, we still got life. Well, life is in Christ. It's not in a person who comes as all excited. You know, the person don't know anything. You know, within a few months, you're going to make them just as bored as you are, because you're going to sit on him or her and keep them from entering into the gates. So there's a lot of blockage to the church. Some of these folks really want to enter into the straight gate, but what they do is they go into places that are nothing but huge, giant pits of hindrances. I believe one or two of them might even wind up in some cult or something. They really want to enter into the straight gate, but they get diverted. And then they get perverted in their diversion. And they don't get in, because wherever they go, thinking they're entering in, it becomes a hindrance. Very few people escape that trap. Very few people. And you have some that they play into the whole, you know, intellectual kind of, you know, you're hip, you're with it. If you want to be really with it and know all the ins and outs and the business around, whatever, they just join us and we'll hook you up, connect you and all that. And you got the beautiful people, you know, church. Everyone wants to be part of that good looking church or winking. That's whatever it is you want to be a part of. There is a big giant hindrance out there with a big tray saying, whatever you want, we got it. Come on in. You don't need to go into that suffering or persecution. We got what you want. They're the tailgaters of religion. They're right there at the gate to meet you and defeat you right there at the straight gate. They got whatever you want to keep you from entering into that gate of suffering and persecution. Because the reward comes later. It don't come now. The so-called church is telling people they got the reward now. The Bible says you got the reward later. You got nothing now but persecution and suffering. But we keep telling them, ah, now that's for them. They're apostles. Mm-hmm. Woe unto you. These people need to just get out. Now, let's read verse 1 again with verse 2. Then said he, back to Luke 17. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. I want you to remember that. It's never going to go away. You're not going to live in a world where there's not going to be anyone attempting to keep you from stumbling. It's never going to happen. The only place where there is no stumbling is in a grave. Okay? That's it. The place where there's perfect rest and peace and quietness is in a tomb, in a grave. Because no one's there arguing in the grave. And no one's alive there either. Okay? Just so that you figured you knew that. Okay? It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. Look at the description in verse 2. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Pick the most horrible death imaginable. It would be better that you died the most horrible death imaginable than you would be a hindrance to someone trying to enter into that straight gate. That's what the Lord said. He didn't seem to make this issue of being a stumbling block and a hindrance to people trying to enter into straight gate a light matter. He said, oh no, it has eternal consequences attached to it. Whoa. And I mean, whoa. It would be better if you could pick the most horrible death imaginable than you would cause or be the cause of someone not entering into the straight gate. We don't look at life the way Jesus looks at life. We don't see things. He said, my ways and my thoughts are not yours. We don't look at things the way the Godhead sees things. We do not deal with reality as the Godhead deals with reality. We don't. In the religious realm, it's even worse. We have Bibles all over the place and are completely irrevocably ignorant of the fact that we don't know it. And it doesn't seem like we care about it. Okay, woe unto you too. Now, keep this in the context. Again, there is a tremendous danger in being a cause of stumbling in the lives of those striving to enter into the straight gate and to those who are already there. Listen, I think there's woe to those trying to mess with those who are already through the gate. It's bad enough to mess with someone trying to get in it. It's bad if you mess someone who's already through it. I don't want to mess with Christians. I wouldn't want to mess with a Christian. I know who their father is. I don't want to mess with Christians. I was going over a list of people. I don't know why, but in my mind, I was thinking about people who had the unfortunate experience of being around me, decided they wanted to do something wrong. God took some folk off the planet. God is not playing. You don't mess with his people. You just don't do it. Woe unto you. You don't understand the consequence because you don't believe. You don't take this stuff seriously. People have gotten into accidents. You know, they persecuted me. And I said, Lord, you deal with it. He dealt with them. Man wrapped his car around a tree. I was a young baby convert. Oh, he came against me. And I told him. It's funny because I told him on a Friday that God was going to get him for that. I'll never forget it. Young baby, new convert in Christ. And he was just railing against me and against Christianity. And I looked at him. I didn't, you know, I'm just a young convert. And it was a Friday night, guard duty. And I said, God's going to get you for this. Saturday, he wrapped that car around a tree. He came in all scraped up and bandaged up. He never persecuted Christianity again. And yes, I said, I told you. And it walked away. He never argued about Christianity again. Mm-hmm. God's going to get you for this. Mm-hmm. People be playing. They think this. They don't take this stuff seriously. I take it seriously. I do. Very much so. I want to look at this verse carefully. Let's begin by looking at the word offend. Okay, the word offend. And remember to keep it in the context of the passages that we've seen thus far, whether it's the previous couple of chapters and this one as well. It means to put a stumbling block or impediment in the way upon which another may trip or fall. Again, it's to actually intentionally do something to keep to cause you to fall. This is not an accident. This is someone intentionally doing it. So whether you are striving to enter into the straight gate, which is the context here, or you're already there, it speaks of someone who's trying to purposely cause you to fall. They want you to fall. That's their intent. And usually it's their own stupid religion, and they're throwing it up against you and persecuting you because you follow in Christ, and they are doing it with the intent for you to fall. This is reality. A lot of people watching and listening, they know what I'm talking about. But they're still on that borderline like they're scared. You better get off that fence and make up your mind. You better choose you this day whom you will serve and stop playing. They hear it now. Yeah, you know what? Any question what you mumbling, you better make up your mind and do something, because if you do nothing, you're going to fall if you haven't already. Put a stumbling block. I made it very clear. There ain't a person in the world that could take away the wonderful blessing of being saved by the Lord in my life. You just forget that. That's not going to happen. There's nothing you could do to take it away any more than you could have done to prevent it. You know, I mean, you have nothing. There is nothing. There's nothing that I want or need that it just, you cannot give me a price. I don't care what it is, that I would even entertain the ridiculous notion that I'm going to abandon Christianity for whatever. That's just not going to happen. That doesn't mean that people don't keep trying. They're going to forever try. I just laugh at them because in my mind and heart, this is a settled issue. And that's where a lot of people fail. In their mind and heart, they don't settle it. There's always this doubt. There is nothing in this life, I don't care what or who it is, that's going to take me away from what I have spiritually, because I know the benefits of that which is spiritual are infinitely greater than any and everything on this earth. So this, in my mind and heart, this isn't even an issue. This is, there's no debate about it. That doesn't mean the person who is going to be a stumbling block knows what I believe or even believes what I believe. They're going to keep coming. They're everywhere. They never stop. But the people I watch are the ones from the church, the ones with religion. Now, whether it's little or a lot, you got to watch them in particular, because that's the context. That's where they're coming from. You didn't see the average Jew going around trying to block people's interest in the king. They were the ones who were following Christ. They were the ones who were interested in what he had to say. Who are the ones doing the most stumbling? Religious people. Who are the ones who are the greatest persecutors of the church? Religious people. Who are the ones who are the greatest persecutors against church today? Religious people. Whether it's cloaked in some kind of socialism or communism, whatever, all that is a religion. It's an atheistic, non-God religion. It's a self-worship of mankind religion. I don't care what the cover or the cloak or the robe is. It's all religion. It's the worship of something or someone. It's the worship of God or the creation. It's the worship of the creator or the creation. And we have to see life like this, because this is what the Bible says. It's nonsense. It's a stumbling block. Stumbling block. They purposely do this. No accident. They want you to fail. They want you to fall. You will if you don't believe what God says. Satan knows, and you know what will make you fall. And God knows too. God knows all things. And I'm not really concerned about what Satan knows. I'm interested in what God knows, because he's the one who's going to protect us. Well, we have to trust him in all this. So those who are putting a stumbling block or impediment in the way with the intent to cause us to trip or to fall, woe unto you. Number two, to entice to sin. So another trap is to entice you to do that which is sinful. That's a stumbling block. It's a lure. It's a bait. The fish sees a hook. He don't care. There's nothing on a hook that will attract him. Use the same hook and put food on it. He'll come for it. The hook is nothing to the fish. But the hook with an enticement is the death of the fish. Same hook is there. The hook is going nowhere. Just because something's on the hook doesn't mean the hook isn't under it. Put that, whatever it is, on that fish, on that hook rather, throw it in there. Guarantee you, the fish will be in my pan tonight. That's it. Yowza, got him. There you go. He can flap all he wants. He may be lucky and get off that hook, hit flap it good enough. He can flap it. You can see his old cheek all tore up. He don't care. I'm not going to be in that pan. He'll be in somebody's pan because his nature is, I got to eat. You know, cheek all tore. He's going to suck a hook somewhere. I remember I caught one fish, the same fish, three times. I remember I caught him the first time. He was too small. He had a real weird design on his body. So I'm like, this is a weird looking fish. So I threw him back, you know, gently. 5 minutes later, oh, I think I got same one. I'm like, now this is ridiculous. So I flipped him back to the other side of the pier. 10 minutes later, oh, yeah. I'm like, okay, this is it. I put him there, put a knife in his head. This is ridiculous. I don't want to catch him anymore. Enough of this. I'm tired of looking at him. That nature, they got to eat. So all these enticements, it's just a part of what's on the tray. Whatever's on the tray, you know, wow, they may not like this, but they certainly like that. It's a big tray that someone's at the door. The devil is at the door with a big tray. You're right there at the straight gate. You have to just step in it. Step into Christ. And right at the entrance, blocking the entrance, is the devil, his minions, your family, my family, your friends, every single person that you are dumb enough to believe wouldn't be a hindrance, are right there with a big old slopping tray of whatever it is that they're going to bring to the gate to keep you from being real. Here it is. And your relatives and friends are on the tray themselves. Everything that keeps you from entering it is on that tray. It's there. It's reality. And you right there. You got victory in your reach. And here, where do these people come from? They're all the big tray. They suddenly know what's best for you. They weren't even talking to you. Suddenly, they know what's best for you. You wouldn't want to be radical. You wouldn't be fanatical. You wouldn't want to lose your family. You want to go to hell? Go then. Woe unto you and everybody on the tray. And you are standing at the straight gate, but being blocked and not listening to what the Lord said. Woe unto you too. Oh, man. I don't know if I like it. Woe unto you too. Next, to cause a person to begin to distrust and to desert one whom we ought to trust and obey. You right there at the straight gate. You've heard everything. You've read everything you know about Christ. And you know you should trust him. And you know you should love him. You know you should follow him. You know you should obey him. But here they come. Like a big old stampede. All these folks trying to keep you from following the one, you know he's right. You know all the, you know these critters. The irony is you know all these relatives. And you know they ain't no good. None of them. You know it. Your mind, your heart. You supposedly are have some discernment now. You know these people ain't no good. You knew them growing up they were no good. They're a bunch of corrupt heathens. You knew it. And you they ain't changed. Leading the pack, Uncle Charlie and Aunt Wilma. And they lying heathen ways. You know it. But for some reason, you rather follow what you know is wrong or who you know is wrong and leave Christ, who is all righteous and all loving, alone. Woe unto you. And woe to those who are the ones causing people to distrust Christ. Woe unto you. This is reality. And next, to cause to fall away. I wouldn't want to be the person who is a stumbling block, who is the hindrance. There are a lot of people. And all these folk had one thing in common. It's all about religion. That's all they got. See, because the point of all this is Christ. The point of every one of these obstacles and impediments is Christ. So it's got to be religion. They suddenly, like I said, become theologians. They don't want you to, you know how many people have suffered and religions are. All these fanatics in religion, religion is the reason why we have so much trouble in the world. All these people suddenly just say stuff. And you know what's interesting? If you really just, listen, I'm appealing to you out there, those of you folks, and even here, those who are watching, those who are listening, and those who are listening now in front of my face, those listening who will list this message on the web, whatever. I am assuming that your mind is working. I always make that assumption because I don't know. You know, I've met people, I thought they had a brain to open their mouth. Then suddenly you realize, well, brain's on vacation. You know full well that if you have this herd of all these relatives and acquaintances and so-called friends and fake uncles, aunts, cousins, or what have you, and the minute you get near that straight gate, three or four of them are going to say the same thing. And you should listen very carefully. Like, well, Uncle Charlie said that. And Aunt Frida said that. And Cousin Bobo said that. And Boo Boo said it too. They all said religion is the reason why we got all the trouble in this world. Now, have you bothered to ask them to explain that? Because I would have to agree that in some cases, religion, of course, all of it being wrong, non-salvific religion is definitely a trouble, a problem in the world. I would have to agree that that's true. I don't particularly care for any religion that wants to blow up buildings, cut people's heads off in the name of a God who's not a God. I understand that. I agree with you. But you don't lump all that together, because I don't see any crusade for Christians to lop off people's heads or blow up any buildings. What about the person over in Oregon? What about him? Well, he used the Bible. So what? So? He also read the LA Times. I blame the Times too. Do I say the Times ain't no good? Well, that'd be a different sermon. But the point is that everything that this person reads, are you just discredit all of it? He ate tuna fish. Do you say, well, tuna fish is bad because of the so-and-so bomber, he blew up and... Okay, so is tuna fish now to be dismissed because he ate tuna fish? Or he lived in a log cabin, and now log cabins are the cause for a person losing his mind? He had outhouse, so all outhouses are evil? Why do you just dismiss one thing in a person's life and say that's the cause of his insanity? Because you have a hatred for God. That's why it's inbred in your filthy, rotten, God-forsaking, sinful nature. You hate God. And now you want to give advice to people why they should enter into the straight gate and cloak it under some so-called concern for their welfare. You don't care about that person at the straight gate. You wouldn't even talk to the person. Right now, all of a sudden, you know, mama or papa, someone, you heading to the straight gate. Oh, you getting the taste of righteousness. Oh, here we go. Here comes the Calvary. All these, mama calling all the relatives, everybody. We need to surround our wonderful so-and-so and make sure she doesn't fall into some cult. Why? Because she wants Christ? He wants Christ? Here they come. All these people, you haven't seen them in 30 years. They wouldn't talk to you if you were standing next to them. But all of a sudden, they all want to come to your rescue. And you fall for it. I would look at them and laugh and turn around and step right into Christ. The brain has to work. So listen, the Holy Spirit is not going to bring you to the place of that door and let you turn around. You just decide, I don't want it. Some people come. They're curious. Just like the parable of the soils, the heart conditions, some are curious. And they come and they go. Because they get to the place where they have everything they need and then some pressure, internal or external, or forgetfulness and stupidness, just stupidity, just drives them away. It's all connected. But woe unto you who are the cause of the stumblings. Clearly, when one causes another to offend, one will cause or attempt to cause one to disbelieve Christ or to abandon faith in Christ. How is this done? Look at the definitions given. One causes another person to distrust Christ by becoming a stumbling block or a blockade or providing such by which one trips up in his or her walk. Just stumble. Many people do it. Many husbands who are unsaved do it to their wives. Many wives who are unsaved do it to their husbands. Many so-called fathers and mothers do it to their children. Many children do it to their parents. And siblings among each other. It's everywhere. But we act like none, la, 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 like none of this stuff happens. And what did Jesus say? It is impossible, but that offenses will come. That's what he said. It's everywhere. But do we believe it? No. La, 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 la. We act like that doesn't happen. Don't tie. I'm not, la, 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 la. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. So, what? Do you think that's not going to happen? Do you think it's not happening because you don't want to hear it or see it? My God, why does he always say we stupid? Mm-hmm. Guess what? One causes another to distrust Christ by being an enticement to sin or by supplying the means by which one is enticed away from Christ's origin. Well, I didn't cause him to sin. Yeah, you just place everything there at their feet to do it. And then you walked away knowing full well that was their weakness, but you did it anyway. You did it anyway. You did it anyway. Woe unto you. You did it. You knew this would cause him or her to stumble into sin, but you didn't. You knew what their sin was, their weakness was. You exploited it. And now you want to act like I had nothing to do with it. Wash your hands. Woe unto you. The net result is that one will begin to distrust Christ and may desert him altogether. They get to the place where they're right there at that gate. And you are the means. I've known people who threaten divorce. People say, what I should do, Reverend Howe? Divorce, let him go. Huh? Yeah, but the Bible, you don't want the truth. You don't want the truth. Why you call me? You don't want the truth. Let me just say it one more time, at least today. Do not call me at all. Do not write. Do not bother me. If you don't want the truth, the hard, straight, true, painful, hurtful, real, down to earth, plain old, simple, no nonsense truth, do not bother me at all. I am not interested in talking to you. You ask me a question, and then when I give you the answer, you want to debate. Do not bother me. I will never call you back. I will never write you. I will never respond to you. Just don't waste my time. Okay? I spent the bulk of my life studying and teaching the Word of God. You have not. I don't need you to waste my time. Okay? Well, my husband threatened to leave me if I became a believer. Well, let's see. This should be rather simple, don't you think? Well, I don't want to lose someone. My Bookie Boo, he gonna, you know what? Goodbye. I guess Bookie Boo more important than salvation. There's your answer. Have a horrible life because you're going to have it. Bye. Click up. Move on. Next. Who's next? Who's going to follow? Who's going to suffer for Christ? I'm going to say this in closing. He might even be listening. I'll never forget. I told you this before. I'll never forget. Preacher. At that time. He probably got a church. You know, church so desperate, hire the devil if they have to. But he was one of the staff of Master's College. And he was offered a so-called church down here in Compton. And he went to, I guess, try out for the place. Brilliant young man, nice brother, and Mrs. Bright Skin Wannabe White said, well, she went and she had a cow, a major, major cow. I don't want to be with them black so-and-sos, and if you take this church, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to go to mama. Oh, you know, plan B, which I think was plan A. And, well, I'm minding my own business, doing whatever I normally do, which is minding my own business. And so I get the call. Now, they know they're going to get the truth. They know it. They knew what I was going to say before they even called me, but they called me anyway. Explain situation. What do I do? I said, did the Lord call you to the church? Yeah. Take the church. But my wife. So what? Let her go. Huh? That was like, boom. The whole conversation changed. I said, let the woman go. She ain't saved if she won't follow you and follow Christ. Is she threatening you like that? What kind of salvation? I just went off. Then he went on for me. Well, the Bible, you know what? Why are you bothering me for? I said, but before you go, let me tell you this. You're going to regret the day that you didn't take that church. I said, so once you give a woman like that control, she'll never give it up. Brother's in oblivion. I don't know what happened to him. He would rather follow his stupid wife than follow Jesus. And I said, by the way, how would you know what the Lord would do to her heart? This could have been a great test for you, and it was, but you blew it. You followed your wife instead of following the Lord. And the Lord could have changed her heart, but you never know that now because you following. And suddenly we weren't friends anymore. Suddenly, he wasn't my friend. Oh. I don't have any friends anymore. I settled that argument a long time ago. I don't have any friends anymore. I every man I've ever trained, every man I've ever taught, none of them are doing what I trained them to do. Not a one of them ain't doing nothing. They just doing whatever they wanted. I ain't got no friends anymore. They don't even show me the respect all the years I've put in their life. They show me nothing. They ain't got no friends. But why they want to keep calling is the remarkable thing. They got no one else to talk to. Yeah, you have the Lord to talk to. Why wouldn't it bother me? And I'm crabbier now, I guess, than I was 20 years ago. You know, I just, you know, you get to the place where maturity tells you, you've already answered all these questions. There's really no need to keep having to readdress the same thing. You have it all up on your webpage, www.fotbc.org. You got that? Okay, for the slower people, www. dot, don't write the word dot, it's just dot FOTBC.org. Or for the military types, whiskey dot Frank Oscar Tango Bravo Charlie dot Oscar Romeo Delta. You got it? Good. Now for the Morse code people, no, I'm not gonna do that. And you could just go and there's hundreds of you, everything you just know about what I believe is already up there. So you don't have to waste this time. You listen to any, do this and go to the list and click any 10 messages. You'll know exactly what I believe within probably the first five of them. You'll know enough to know he ain't going to be playing with us. And you don't need anybody playing with you, but don't waste my time. Time is precious. I'm 54. The years of my life ahead of me are shorter than the ones that passed. So I want to try to really enjoy the last few years of my life without having to deal with your madness. Your madness is brought on because you want it. You don't want the truth. The truth is in your face. You have enough Bibles. You have enough works, you know, computer stuff, whatever, logos, whatever. You don't need me. You have the Lord. That's what you say. But then when you run to a crossroad, you want to talk to the person you know is going to tell you the truth and you're not going to like it. So just do yourself a favor. Move on. Get over him because you know he's going to tell you the truth. You already know what I'm going to say before you ask me. So just figure that out. Like if I call, I know what he's going to say. There you go. Now you're growing. You know what he's going to say before you even ask him. So just leave it. Hang the phone up. Have a good life. Not Oscar Romeo Delta. That's right. Just hang up the phone. Have a good life. Okay? Just go on. Because this is ridiculous. Don't call me, I won't call you. You don't sound very loving. Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying, you have the Bible, you have the truth. There's no need to waste people's time, anyone's time, frankly. Trying to get them to agree with you or tweak what you believe. No one really cares about that. Those of us who know the truth, and who are constantly learning the truth, we already know this is a waste of time. And you don't need to waste anyone's time. Just do what's right and be blessed. Suffer like everybody else has suffered. Goodbye to all your friends. Kiss all your friends and family goodbye and just be done with this rotten life anyway. Don't you want to go to heaven? Every single person that departs from you makes heaven that much more real in your experience. I want heaven. You can have this junk down here and everybody on it for that matter. The more people forsake you, the more your Bible will be real to you. Don't dismiss those parts of the Bible that talk about persecution and suffering and loneliness. Read them because you're going to experience them. And then when it happens, you go, that's it. God is right again. And say, oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be with one who will never leave or forsake me. And I know he's that now, but I will be there in his presence forever. It'll never be taken away. Good. Now you're growing. Now you're growing. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again that no matter what the sufferings, the tribulation, the trials, the tests, the persecutions, etc., that we may endure for your sake, Lord, it's nothing compared to the tribulation that they will endure, the woe that will come upon all those who are persecuting and hindering and blocking the saint and those who are trying to be saints. The woe is great. It's eternal. Lord, help us to understand while we are here that we have a goal and a mission in life, Lord. And that's to follow you regardless what people are doing, regardless of who's at the gate. We are to enter in at the straight gate, to enter into the narrow way, to go through the crowds that are pressing and compressing us to try to prevent us from entering into Christ and be blessed. Just walk right on through. Turn sideways. Just crush and be crushed to get in the gate, but get in there anyway. and see that at the other end is a wide open eternal blessing of truth and understanding, and one day culminating in being in your presence forever, to have a new body, new changed body, fit for the kingdom. Lord, all this junk is passing away. All the people are passing away on it, Lord. I pray we would not get caught up in relationships with family, relationships, period, but that we get caught up in our relationship with you, the way others have, who, Father, have faithfully done exactly what you said and paved the way, Lord, and laid down their lives, even unto the death, because they counted heaven to be far more important than whatever is going on down here. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of the simple truth of the word. May you be glorified. Bless the giving in Jesus' name. Amen.